sharing about the love of God. And we recognize that the love of God is not something that is just theoretical. It is real. It's there you see in the lives of our brethren, and whether it's between the us with others, families, or whether with another church or the world. You know, this love of God is something that is something truly wonderful, and it's just so wonderful to be able to experience that. Okay, just a few things before we take up the Lord's Word. Next week there's no meeting, there's a wedding on. And the following week we are going to have a mooncake festival special. I wrote to you about it, and we are planning to present an item as a young adults. So if your Chinese is reasonably good, if you're better than mine, you can sing. Okay, it's not a problem. It's a simple song, it's a nice song. I think we want to be able to share this with our brethren. And that's what it means for us to have love for one another also, to care for our bilingual brethren in our church, and also to see how we can reach out to others. So I'm going to encourage you to invite your parents, your grandparents. I think this is an excellent opportunity to reach out, to have your parents or grandparents to come and experience what church is all about. And this is one of the ways in which we can do that. Okay, so we look forward to that. Okay, we'll probably take a bit of time afterwards. We won't go into our groups today. We want to take a bit of time after the message to practice. And we do need to practice a few times at least to get to where we want to be. Okay. All right. Now, let's review a little bit. I think the last time when we met, I spoke about a very important key principle of life. And I hope that this is a principle that you embrace for your life too. It's something that has been very much a part of my life, and very much it will continue to be part of my life as I see the future, as I see how, when you look at the context of life, and many, many challenges. You know, when you hear of people dying, you know, like for instance, there was a triathlon, is it a triathlon, a balathon, or something like that, and, you know, somebody was swimming, and, you know, he died during the swim. You know, so you can be exercising, you can be the most healthy person, and you still die. You know, that's the reality of life. But yet at the same time, how do we look at these realities of life, and how do we live? And we want to live for Christ. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. To me, there's no better way to live our life than to live it for Christ. And yet, at the same time, to know that when we look at the end of our life, there is so much for us to gain rather than to lose. Okay? So there's a very dynamic principle of life that we want to appreciate, and we want to continue to understand this. Now, let's look at verse 25 now. And in verse 25, we see Paul's perspective as he thought about his continuing ministry. And in verse 25, and he says, "And being confident of this, right, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about this word confidence. You know, we talk about confidence, having confidence in the world, in what you do, and how you see things in life, in your work. You know, people are always talking about, oh, you must be confident, you must be this, you must be positive. You know, you must have positive thinking, and so on and so forth. And many people have all kinds of perspectives concerning what makes a person confident, right? And you know, there's this guy, forget his name, you know, he's a motivational speaker, and he talks about, whoa, unleash the giant in you. Huh? Anthony Robbins, that's right. You attend. Okay. I need to talk to you after. Hello, just kidding. Right, and you're right, and and people have all kinds of ways, you know, and I'm sure this, you get it at your work, you go to seminars, and people are always talking about this and that. Oh, you must be this, you must be that, this is how you want to, you know, achieve your first million, and you know, all kinds of perspectives. And you ask yourself, is that really what we want to have as our understanding of confidence? How do we understand confidence? How do we want to be able to appreciate this idea of confidence? Now, in order to understand this word confidence, being confident of this, I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. And, I'd just like to explain this word, patho, okay? And the word confident in Greek is this word patho, okay? And is translated as to persuade, okay? So I can understand why he translated as confident, but lexically, the definition of this word is to persuade. Okay, I persuade or I'm persuaded. Now, look at verse, chapter 1, verse 12 of 2 Timothy, and it says, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep," right, "what I've committed to him until that day." Now, it's very important to connect these two words, belief and persuaded. So when you look at this word, patho, you have to see it in the context of 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. Because we must first begin with faith in order to be confident or to be persuaded. We must begin with faith. We've been talking about the same spirit of faith. So absolutely, it's important for us to look at faith. And Paul says, "For I know whom I have believed." Now, this word believed or have faith, okay, it is, right, it's written in what we call the perfect tense. So the perfect tense talks about something that's already been done in the past and it has been completed, and there is continuing result or continuing effect of it. So for Paul, you know, it is something that he has believed and it continues. Okay? Now, the sense of this word is that there is a result here. Okay? So because he has believed, it has resulted in him. And that means having this belief and continue to have this belief because of the knowledge that he had. Absolutely important. What is it that you really believe in? We must have knowledge. Absolutely important. Somebody was talking to me and asking, you know, he was talking to his brother, and a brother was raising, you know, saying that, what is it that you all believe in? What you have is blind faith. Okay, and a lot of people tend to put it that way. And we totally disagree. It's not blind faith. For us, we have a reasoned faith. A faith that is based upon the word of God, from knowledge that we can gain concerning God, concerning Christ, concerning faith. "For I know whom I have believed." And you know, there are people out there who are always trying to discredit our beliefs. Okay? Now, I don't know whether you have followed, you know, read Dan Brown's book. He's just come out with a new book, and it's called Origins. Okay? And basically, I mean, for me, I always see it as a novel, so we really don't have a problem with it. He can say whatever he wants to say. But oftentimes, he raises issues that people tend to be very perturbed by, and you know, it creates all kinds of concern. But I read on the internet the preview and the first chapter. Okay, they released it. And one of the things that was raised up was this. And he was, the issue at hand was that that the teachings of all religion did have one thing in common. Right? And that is, they are all dead. And they are all wrong. That was what he raised up in his book. So I think he will probably ruffle some feathers along the way. And so basically what he's raising is that all religion is dead. And, you know, that's the kind of thinking that people have out there in the world. That they are dead wrong. And of course, we totally disagree. We are not dead wrong. We are absolutely clear concerning what we believe in. For I know whom I have believed. And because of this belief, is a reasoned faith, because of what we understand, then we are persuaded. So our persuasion is not based upon positive thinking. It's nothing out there, but we are trying to grab something, and then we are trying to believe in it. And, you know, we base everything on it. That's not going to help. What we believe in is something that is solid, that is provable, and it's something that is able to stand the test of time, and am persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him until the day. And there comes the word peto, right? Persuaded. Again, there is the use of the perfect. So you have one perfect, you know, tense, and then you have another perfect tense. And the word, the perfect tense is always about being, you know, something that has been confirmed, and there is a continuing effect. And when you talk about being persuaded as a perfect tense, it is something that is, you know, you see something that is extensive. There is a consummation here. Okay? That you're talking about something that is really confirmed and so on and so forth. So you are absolutely, truly, you know, persuaded. One, you know, there's nothing, there's no doubt whatsoever. Paul did not have any doubt whatsoever. That is the kind of persuasion he had. In his faith, in his understanding. And it's with this understanding that we come to Philippians 1. When he talks about this idea of confidence, it is when we are persuaded, and then comes that confidence. Okay? So let's go back to Philippians 1, verse 25. And then we talk about being confident of this. So whenever he used the word peto or persuaded or confident, 2 Timothy 1 12 must come to mind. It is based upon faith, and therefore there is that persuasion and there is that confidence that comes to us in how we see things, in how we live our life. So when we say, for me to live is Christ, can we live with confidence based upon that? The answer is yes. Because we are talking about, you know what, my life is lived for Christ. And, you know, nothing else really matters. Yes, we will still have to work. We still have to be responsible to our families and so on and so forth. Those are the necessary things of life. But yet, you know what, it is lived for Christ. And yet, the confidence comes even when we have to face death. Even if it's something that is unexpected. And you recognize that life as it is, there are many, many things that are unexpected. Sometimes you tend to think that, you know, we base confidence on what people say. And sometimes people tend to say, hey, you know what, you will get it. This is, you know, a done deal. You will be able to get this job, or you get this promotion, or whatever it may be. And people tend to say, you know what, wow, this sounds good. You know, I place my confidence in you, and so on and so forth. And you know what? Things don't turn out the way it is. We all tend to trust in the words of men, and so on and so forth. We place our confidence in the things of this world far more than anything else. Right? And we recognize this. But it's our confidence in the Lord as we should. Okay, any questions at all? Seriously. I mean, we have to ask ourselves, why don't we have this kind of confidence? I mean, for me, you know, it is absolutely to know the Lord and have that kind of faith and then be persuaded. So Xiao Han had the interview, and, you know, I saw the interview, by the way, and, you know, they were asking her all kinds of questions. So she needed to prepare herself, which is absolutely important. People are just going to ask you all kinds of questions, and so on and so forth. And I thought she said, wow, you know, she was able to answer them. I mean, end of the day, we also don't know what's happening, you know, we will just take your words for it. We won't know, right? I mean, it's there for us to research about iPhone 10 and so on and so forth. You know, but based upon the knowledge, you can go there and answer confidently. Sure, which is absolutely important. Same for our faith. Same for what we believe in. Same regards to our understanding of how we should live our life. There must be that confidence. There must be the understanding that will help you. You know, that no matter what you face in life, no matter what unexpected thing that will arise, you can still have that confidence to face that reality. If not, you know, to me, how are you going to live this life? Without faith, without that understanding, without confidence. If not, we are going to live this life, you know, very, very negatively. We are, you know, pessimists. We tend to hide. We tend to have all kinds of doubts. And can we live our life confidently? And the answer is an absolute yes, despite the challenges of life. But the problem is we don't. The problem is we can't. Why? Okay, let's ask ourselves, right? Let's ask the chairman. Okay, Sam, tell me. What? I mean, are you a confident man? You see, you can't even answer me. I'm sure, yeah, I understand. Okay, what are some of our struggles, right? I mean, for Paul, you know, he was talking about being confident of this, that I know that I shall remain and continue with all of you. I mean, his confidence was really absolutely wonderful, that he was persuaded.
Yeah. Able to exercise faith. Yeah. So.
We ask ourselves, you know, can we overcome this time? Can we do it? Right. Past tend to blame us.
Struggles. I think the thing that I've come to fear a lot is when I...
Actually, you raised up one fear.
Yeah, the fear comes when you sense that God is not close. Then you are lost. Yeah.
You're right. Really, it has to do with your relationship with God. So, part of it has to do with fear, part of it has to do with fears, part of it has to do with...
Ultimately, it's your faith. That's what we are talking about. It's your relationship. And because we are not close to the Lord, there is no sense of God's presence and understanding as to how we should approach life and to see for it for what it is and face it with a triumphant spirit and understanding. But because we are not close, then we tend to rely upon ourselves. We tend to rely on what is it that we are focused on in this life. And you know that these things don't work at all. You can place your confidence in your achievements, and you know that these things won't go very far. You can place your confidence in what you have, your possessions. It could be money, it could be the wealth that you have. And you know, we are young adults, you are making a living for yourself, and you know, you look at your bank account and you say, wow, you know, these are all the bonus that I have and things like that. And end of the day, what's that all about? You know, we know somebody who is one of the richest persons in Indonesia, and he is, you know, facing death. And his whole life, he has everything that he wanted. But you know, at a point, this, you know, when he's facing death, all the money in the world cannot bring comfort. None whatsoever. You can be the richest man ever, but it's not going to give you that confidence to face the reality of life, even something such as death. You know, you have to ask yourself, what is it that we are placing our confidence in this world? What is our faith in? Honestly, now I was just talking to somebody, and we all can say the right answers. We can go into our discussion groups and we can say, you know, Pastor Mark, this is how I see it. This is how I see it. And we all can come up with the right answers. But when you are faced with the reality of these problems and difficulties in life, what does your heart say? When you are not given that promotion, what does your heart say? When you're not given that job, what does your heart say? When somehow God is not answering your prayer, what is your heart saying? Ultimately, it is what it is in your heart. Do we ultimately talk about a faith in God that is able to give us that confidence despite things not going our way? But if things don't go our way, does it mean that God is somehow not involved? I mean, you look at Joseph and you look at his life. And of course, the early stages of his life, it was all about himself. But he went through so much, and yet he could see God's hand of blessing wherever he went. That is what it means to have confidence in life. Even though you are in prison, you do your very best. Even though you are, you know, a servant, you do your very best. And God will raise him up, and he did. That is the kind of confidence that we want to have. Right, you're right. It has to do with relationship. It has to do with all kinds of fears that we have. And it has to do with failures. And the failures are the things that, you know, oftentimes scars us in terms of how we can progress in this life. Have I failed before? The answer is yes. And you know, you don't know all the struggles that I face. As a pastor, even after 20 over years of being in a full-time ministry, do I still have struggles? The answer is yes. My wife knows things about me that you don't know about. I'll talk to you afterwards. So. But you know, it's learning what it means to place our absolute trust in God. It's, It's not even placing our trust in ourselves, honestly. Because you try and rely on yourself and you think, wow, you know, I'm this, I'm that in the world. Even if you have achievement, some achievement in this world, you have made it in life to some extent. You know, you look back and is it really about yourself? Has it been about yourself? Has it not been about God and God alone? Can we not learn what it means to find this confidence in God? The Lord Jesus told his disciples who were troubled because he was going to leave. In John 14, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me." Right from the very onset, as he addressed the problem and what they were faced with, they were lacking confidence. They didn't know where God, I mean, what's going to happen and so on and so forth. But the Lord Jesus told them right from the very beginning as he addressed this issue in John 14. "You believe in God, believe also in me." He brought up our faith must come to the forefront of things and to address how we should see things and bring about that persuasion that will bring about confidence in life. That is a confidence that you can never be disappointed by. Absolute confidence and trust in the Lord to know where he will lead us and guide us. And that's what Paul had. He had absolute confidence in the Lord, and he was persuaded. How was he persuaded? He was persuaded by the Lord. Right? Let's go back to Philippians 1, and we see this. Somehow along the way, and I mentioned this before, the Lord would have intimated to him about how he will be delivered. And that is relationship. Relationship with the Lord, that you are able to sense what the Lord is trying to say to you. Can you listen to his voice? Can you listen to his direction? Can you listen him guiding you to a path that maybe you're not, you know, clear about? Maybe it's, you know, you have not worked out all the considerations, but the Lord is telling you, you know, nonetheless, you go ahead. This is the path that I'm leading you to. Can you find confidence in me? Can you have faith in me? And the Lord somehow would have intimated to Paul, and he knew he would be delivered. Let's go back to verse 19. Okay, and he says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." That's his confidence. He knew. He knew that he was going to be delivered, and that through the prayer of the brethren, through the supply, right? Remember, I was explaining that it's better to understand this as the support of the Spirit of God. See, when you go into a Roman prison, there is three possible outcomes. One is that you will be executed. Two, you'll be banished. Or three, you'll be released, which is most unusual. And Paul expected to be released. This is his confidence in the Lord. And the Lord continued to help him. There is the invisible work of the Holy Spirit in guiding him and leading him. Now, this is consistent. I mean, if you were to look at, let's just turn to Acts 13. In Acts 13, we read how the Spirit of God worked, okay? And there was the prophets and teachers, and there was Barnabas, Simeon, and others. Verse 2, "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" Right? And verse 4, "And so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And also you see the Spirit of God working very, very much involved in the life of Paul, leading him, guiding him. And, you know, so as we appreciate this in the same spirit, how the Holy Spirit would also be there to help Paul and to deliver him. Okay? And that's something that we can see. All right? Now let's look at verse 19. And the word know is used, right? For I know that this would turn out, Philippians 1. And then we also read in verse 25. Okay? And being confident of this. So there is that confidence so that he would know. I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. So he was absolutely sure that he would remain. Right? As much as he talked about whether he should go, whether he should remain. But here it became very clear. So the word remain was emphasized quite a bit. In verse 24, we read, right, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful. Okay? And that he would, you know, he knew that he will remain, he shall remain and continue. Now, all these three words, right, remain, remain, and then to continue with, keyword is this word meno. This word is where you get the word abide. And so Paul would continue to remain and he will abide with the people so that he can continue to do that work. Okay? And that was his purpose remaining. You know, sometimes you ask yourself when you talk about life, and for Paul there is that confidence in the Lord that he will remain, he will continue to have life. But what is the point? What is the point of having continued life? Do we just stay so that we can enjoy more char kway teow and, you know, to play more games and to enjoy sports and watch television? You know, sometimes you ask yourself, what's that all about? For Paul, it was for the brethren. So we see in verse 25, and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. There was purpose in him continuing his ministry. And there is one, progress. And I think it's important for us to ask ourselves, how much have we been progressing? The ministry of the church, we exist because we want to help people concerning their lives, concerning their faith, and really to be able to help them grow and to see the church grow and progress. For the Philippian church, Paul was there to remain so that they can continue to grow, to progress. The word progress is made up of two words, pro, which is front, and copto, which is cut. So it is to cut in the front, meaning whatever it is that comes ahead, that you are faced with, you have to learn to cut through. And to, it's like obstacles. You know, obstacles that prevent you from moving forward. And that we need to cut through those obstacles to advance and move forward. Right? This is something, I mean, those of us in the army, you recognize this, right? When you go through, most of you went army, right? I mean, the guys, right? And, you know, when you go through the jungle, you got to go and bash through, and you got to bash through the, you know, whether it's trees or leaves and branches, and I mean, not bash through the whole tree, lah, but, you know, there are many things to... Yeah, we're not going to do that, but... You know, there are obstacles that we will have to face. Right? In army, there's this cost. It's called the obstacle cost. Right? And the first thing that you see the obstacle cost is this wall. And, you know, and it's always amazing how... You know, it's not easy to clear, but for me personally, okay, you know, it's not a problem. I can clear it. But sometimes you see some of the others, especially those who are slightly on the larger side, and, you know, they will find it very hard. And no matter how hard they try, even they jump and they bang against the wall, it is not going to come, the wall is not going to fall. And it's not going to make a difference. And, you know, it's when we are faced with obstacles, can we progress? Can we move ahead? And Paul was there to help them progress. Right? Not only to progress, but to grow in terms of your faith and to find joy of faith. So they are all related to faith. Your progress, your joy in life. Because it's related. When you are progressing, there is joy too. Joy is something that we want to appreciate when there is joy of salvation, right? When we first come to know the Lord, there is joy. There is joy when we are sanctified, when we see our lives that much more cleansed and that we will learn to grow. There is joy. Joy in serving the Lord. When we do our part for the Lord, that brings so much joy. Joy in learning what it means to pray, as Paul did. Joy in learning what it means to spread the gospel. And that's what we are seeking to do in 2 weeks' time. We want to be able to go up there and sing, you know, about the Lord and about his sacrifice and really to be able to bring a sense of joy to others. Can we not do so with joy? And joy in relationships. Paul's joy was really having to be able to see the brethren again, and for them to appreciate that relationship with him. Okay? To me, that's absolutely important. So Paul's ministry to the brethren was absolutely important. Now, I'd just like to take a moment and to talk to you about how, as pastors, as teachers of the Lord's Word, as leaders, so I'm not just talking about the pastoral team is there. And we are there for a purpose. We are concerned about your life. We are concerned about your faith. And we are here to support you and to help you. And, you know, it matters. It matters to me. It matters to the pastors. And it matters to the church, to the leaders, that as a church we continue to grow, as a young adults group that we continue to grow. And I hope that that's something that you will appreciate. So we thank God for leaders, we thank God for our Sunday school teachers, we thank God for all who are involved in your life. And I hope that you are seeking to interact and to relate with anybody that can help you in the context of the church to help you to grow, to progress. If you're not progressing, right? Then you can see that your own faith is stagnant. In fact, it is going downwards. You know, if you're not growing, that means one way or another, you are declining. There's no, you know, middle ground, really, in more ways than one. And I hope that you are seeking help so that you are growing and progressing, which is absolutely important. I continue to progress because of my relationship with Pastor. Constantly I'm interacting with him, whether it is with life concerning ministry, and you know, my own faith grow as a result. And the question is, are you growing? Are you growing? And you know, if we are not having that kind of confidence in life, maybe because we are not growing as we should. Maybe we are not progressing as we should. Maybe we are not able to find the kind of joy in life as we should. absolutely important for us to keep growing and developing our faith. Progress and joy of faith. Okay? Now, let's look at verse 20. Any questions, anything at all? Okay? Verse 26 say that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Now, there is the boasting. Okay, this word rejoicing can be translated as boasting. Not so much as one with, you know, a wrong kind of pride, but really it's more because of the joy. There is extolling, okay? Your extolling or your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Christ Jesus. This is something that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely important that we learn to develop our faith in the context of Christ, in the sphere of Christ, okay? And that you will find that special sense of joy by my coming to you again. So Paul is planning to visit. Now, but yet at the same time, we want to see this in the proper context. Will he ultimately be able to visit them? Now, for Paul, he's not remaining only for the Philippian church. There are many other churches that he is there for. So he, even though he continues to remain, he is delivered, he is spared, there are others whom he's seeking to minister to. For instance, the Corinthian church. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16. And I would like to help you understand that as much as we talk about confidence, there is also certain aspects that we really need to entrust to the Lord. So in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 7, okay, 1 Corinthians 16 is really about some plans that Paul had. So in verse 5, we read, "Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia, and it may be that I will remain," see, "and even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go, for I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay in a while with you if the Lord permits." So this is a very important understanding that you want to have. Whatever plans that we may have, whatever desires that you may have, it must be ultimately in the context of the Lord permitting. It is the Lord that must allow for it. So again, we must place our faith and trust in the Lord. So for Paul, it is his hope, "But I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits." So the word "if" is important to understand because it qualifies for us how do we look at plans. It's only if the Lord permits. We can plan this and we can plan that, but it's only if the Lord permits. Okay? Turn me to Romans 5. Sorry, not Romans 5. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 14. It says here, "Now I myself am confident concerning you." See? It talks about confidence again. "Concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you." Okay? And verse 20. Okay? "That I've made it my aim to preach the gospel." And then in verse 22, "For this reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you, but now no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you whenever I journey to Spain." Okay, "I shall come to you." So Spain existed then, and I shall come to you. And to be helped on my way there by you. If first I may enjoy your company for a while. See, so he had different congregation that he would relate to and find joy in. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty also is to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers for me, that I may be delivered from those who are in Judea, right? And do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. So these are two very important perspectives concerning plans. Right? So as much as we have confidence in the Lord, absolutely, whatever it is, when you talk about doctrinal things, when you talk about faith and so on and so forth. But yet at the same time, we must be able to see things according to as the Lord, one, as he permits, two, according to the will of God. This is how Paul sought to plan his ministry and life and so on and so forth. Absolutely important. And that's how we want to apply it in the context of our lives too. So whatever plans we have, we recognize that it is something to desire, you know, things. There's nothing wrong with that. Do I want to be able to, you know, do certain things out of my own desire, you know, a right desire? For Paul, it was to go to these churches, to be with them, to fellowship with them, to refresh them, to encourage them. You know, that's what we do when we go over to Perth, so that we will be able to minister to the brethren. And it has taken years and years and years of ministry for them to slowly rise up even more now. There is growth, there is a greater sense of spirit. And we hopefully we see, you know, as the numbers grow, as people come, as people are dedicated to commit themselves to serve the Lord, there are more leaders that will rise up and to serve alongside Pastor Chris. Right? But we also recognize that the Lord has a say in this. It has to be according to whether he will permit it, and secondly, it is according to the will of God. So if you were to apply it in your context, in your own life, how would you apply this? How would you understand this? And a lot of times we end up being disappointed. We end up, you know, life is, you know, so unfair, and, you know, people are so unfair, and we, you know, we just end up being very disgruntled with life because things don't go your way. Okay, any question? I thought this would be something that you want to talk about. And wow, your perfect lives, huh? Right? I mean, how do you see these things? John, how do you see this thing? I mean, you have your own struggles in life, right? How do you see these things? I mean, like, for instance, have you been...
Better? Yeah. What I'm facing now, I mean,
on one hand, you recognize that, you know, this is this is not too bad, right? And we want to be able to bring in prayer, and we want to bring in, you know, faith, and so on and so forth. But how do we see these things in life? Can we learn what it means to look to the Lord and say, Lord, it is as you will. Your will be done. Can we say that? Not my will, but your will. I mean, if my will is that, this is what I want. This is, so there's nothing wrong with having certain desires for life. And I mean good things, right? But yet at the same time, if these things don't play out as what we wish it to be, can we not see it as the will of God? Can we not see it as it is as the Lord permits? Right? Clement, what do you think? Since you're right in front of me.
Hello. Yeah, I think it's actually quite true. I think if I apply this in my work context, a lot of people are, just chatting with my friend, he's a pharmacist, and he said that a lot of people are very disgruntled with work, and the bosses, they don't understand, and a lot of people are leaving. And I told him, well, there's something you can't change. And he was a Christian, so I just told him that, you know, this is something that we can learn to apply, that this is the Lord's will as well. And you should continue to work hard and do your best.
Yeah, I mean, when you're losing this load, you
know. It goes on and off. Maybe it's time to quit. Can you hear me? Yeah, you know, so, yeah, when you look out and you look at all the people who are out there, and they're just very, very disgruntled with life, with their bosses, with their situation, and there's a lot of disappointment and anger and frustration and so on and so forth. How do you respond? And I don't mean just in the mind. It has to do with your heart. You must respond in a way that it is in your heart. You can say, yeah, okay, you know what, let me trust the Lord. But in your own heart, you're still flustered. You're still frustrated. There's still that, you know, you're just being upset. I can tell you this. We all can face all kinds of situations. And, you know, when we are there, when you're there faced with that reality, you ask yourself, what is coming true? Is it our faith? Is it the Lord? What comes true, see? And you know, as you will recognize, the challenges will be there and they will come. And what is it that we want to find? Well, let's find that confidence in the Lord. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. That is our confidence. At the same time, can we not trust the Lord in his plans? So what if I didn't get a promotion? So what if things don't turn out the way I planned it to be? Can we not believe in God's plan instead? Can we not believe that he has a far wiser plan for us? You know, sometimes we don't, I was just sharing with somebody, and sometimes when we look at life, even for Chinky and myself, I mean, we've been married for 16 years. Yeah, correct. Right? And, you know, sometimes there are certain, I was just saying that, you know, there are certain decisions that we make. And sometimes, you know, you make that decision and you look back, you know, and sometimes you ask, hey, okay, you know, did we make the right decision? And then, you know, you prayed about it, you trusted the Lord for it. And, you know, and as life goes on, and sometimes it takes years, and then you recognize as you look back, you know, through the different experiences of life, and you begin to tell you, you know, begin to confirm for you why you made those decisions and why the Lord would, you know, lead you in that path. And, you know, I just thank God for the way in which He will lead us. But has there been disappointments along the way? The answer is yes, too. And we also got to recognize that, you know, we have to abide to the will of God. We have to submit ourselves to the will of God. And if this is the will of God, then, you know what, we will take it up and we will follow the Lord. So I hope that that's something that you will seriously consider as we think about confidence in the Lord. Don't place your confidence in man. Don't place your confidence in the things of this world. Don't place confidence in yourself. It is confidence in the Lord because of how we've been persuaded, and it's because of our faith in God. God and God alone. Believe in God. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in God that His plans are higher than ours, not our ways, right? God's ways are not our ways. It's far better for us to trust in the Lord's ways and to see how He will lead us. It's better to trust in His will for us. Right? Sometimes you ask yourself, you know, in life, we make all kinds of choices. Right? We choose this path, we choose this person, we choose this life, we choose this, you know, service, we choose this ministry, and so on and so forth. We choose all kinds of things in life. And yes, we prayed. Yes, we sought the Lord's guidance, we consulted, and so on and so forth. And then, you know, it's just being able to recognize that, is this the Lord's will for us? In seeing the Lord's will, you know, we can find so much more trust and faith in Him. Okay? Well, we're going to pray, and then we're going to take a bit of time to practice, and then we can go down to fellowship together. Well, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank You that we can find absolute confidence in You. Confidence in life to face the realities of problems and difficulties and disappointments. We pray, Lord, that You will teach us to be persuaded because of our knowledge in You, not because of anything else in the world, what the world offers to us. We pray, Lord, that You will give us that confidence to live this life with a sense of purpose and understanding of why we are here, that we have life to live, and that You will continue to give us that understanding to help us to understand whether it is whether in life, whatever is given to us, whether it's according to Your will or not. We pray that You will continue to bless us, and we pray that You will be with us even as we fellowship together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's, if you want to just take a break.